Okay, today's daf is Baba Basra daf Kufchav Hey. Kufchav Hey, today's shir, these 2 weeks are sponsored. L'zecher Nishmas Yosef Rafael Ben Iser. Yosef Rafael Ben Iser, L'zecher Nishmaso. Okay, Kufchav Hey. So we are on Kufchav Dal and Mabez. We are in the Sugyas, the daf about a Bechor taking Pishnaim in the Nachla. So the question we have been dealing with is, what does he take Pishnayim from? So we discussed yesterday, what about different types of assets that are somewhat ra'ui? What about karbanos? What about Zerol Chayim Lekeva? And then we got into discussion of what about shevach? What about appreciation that assets have before the father died, after the father died? What about after the father died? Is there any difference between whether it happened itself or whether the Yarshim had anything to do with it? What if it changes? These were all discussions on yesterday's daf. And generally we saw that Rebbe was more Mekel for the Bechor, and the Rabbanan were more Machmir for the Bechor. The last issue that came up on Kuf Chav Dal and Mabez was the issue of Milveh and Ribbis. Different brises and shittas quoted regarding, does a Bechor take Mishnayim in a Milveh? That if his father is owed money at the time that the father died, does he take from that? So the brises said, Shmuel said no. Shmuel said, Ein Bechor notu Mishnayim b'Milveh. That was right in the middle of Kuf Chav Dal and Mabez, Shmuel Shita. And Rebbe, at least some versions of Rebbe had said, maybe some Milvehs yes, some Milvehs no. And then we had the issue of, what about Ribbis? Right, what about Ribbis? That was the Brisa quoted about 8 lines up from the bottom, that Rebbe holds, you take Pishnayim Beimba Milva, Beimba Ribbis. Right, and that was a stira, because some Brisa said you don't. So let's talk about that one for a moment before we go on. The Shita that says that Rebbe holds that you take from Milva, even from Milva, even from Ribbis, that type of raw you take from. So what type of Ribbis are we talking about? So I mentioned there's a machlokas between the Tosfos Rid and the Ritva and the other Rishonim. The Tosfos Rid says Beferish, Bein Bemilva, Bein Beribis, Pirish, Dafka Beribis, She'ala B'chayi Avihem. The only Ribis that you take, that he takes double from, is Ribis that accrued during the lifetime of the father. Kidapir, Shur, Rabbein Shmuel, Rabbein Yitzchak, like the Rashbam says, Aval Ribis, She'ala Achemos Avihem, Becheskas Kala Yarshavu. He says, Beribis that accrues after the father died, so that is because it's called Yarshim. Velokim Asha Kasafti B'Madur Kama. Not like I wrote in Madur Kama, I changed my mind. Hashta Hadribi. I used to think otherwise. Maybe, what did he think originally? And what does he think now? That's it. But that's the Tosfos Rid Shita. So we have to talk about what changed in his mind. The Ritva agrees with him. The Ritva says, only Ribbis that accrued B'chaye, Hainu Ribbis Shenizkaf B'chaye Avihem. That's what the Ritva says. Right, the Shita that says you don't take from Ribbis, that's even Ribbis that was mitzvah b'chayi avuhon. If it's Ribbis from afterwards, for sure everybody agrees it's no good. The Rabbeinu Yonah though says, if you look here, Rabbeinu Yonah, he says no, any Ribbis, even Ribbis that came afterwards. The question is, what exactly is the Nekudas HaMachlokas, and what changed in the mind of the Tosfos Rid? So as we alluded to at the end of Shir yesterday, the question in the Achronim is, when does the Chiyuv of Ribbis kick in? Is the Chiyuv of Ribbis, again, it's Asur, it's an Avera, to collect Ribbis, it's an Avera, the Mishnah says in Mamatziah, anybody involved in Ribbis, the lender, the borrower, the sofer, the Edim, anybody, the Arev, anybody involved in Ribbis is violating. The question is, though, let's say with a non-Jew, because we know Ribbis is mutter with a non-Jew. So when does the Chiyuv start? Does the Chiyuv start conceptually at the moment of the loan? Just like the loan itself. If I borrow $100, then from that moment, I owe you $100. The Chiyuv doesn't start as we go along. It starts right away. Or do I say that, and so maybe so do Ribbis. Ribbis is part of the loan. Ribbis at least done at the time of the loan. So maybe Ribbis is part of the loan. And even though I never borrow that money, but the Chiyuv starts then. Or do I say no? As time goes on, the month that you give me to have the money, By ratio, right, by little increments, every day, I owe you more and more ribis. So the Achronim say, maybe that's what's going on in our sugya. The Tosas Rid's change of heart was maybe about this issue. Originally, he said that it's even ribis that accrues after the father dies, because really, it's not accruing after the father dies. Really, it's considered from the moment of the loan. So it looks like it's accruing after the father died, but it's not true. Really, it all flows from the time of the milveh. Masha'enkein, according to what he thinks, the maskana, and according to what the Tosas, what the Ritva thinks, maybe it is all happening during the time, like schirus, like yeshnol schirus mitchila batzof, like that type of concept, that it accrues during the process, and therefore, it would be a problem, it would be considered ra'ui. Rabbi Chanan himself talks about this issue, and he thinks it's a stira in the Rashba. Rabbi Chanan in Simon Shinpei, right here in our daf, he thinks that if you look in two different shuvas of the Rashba, so he thinks it's two, you get two different, he doesn't answer the question, he just points out. Right, the Rashba has thousands and thousands of shuvas. So you have the Rabbi Chanan who knew them. Number one, he quotes one shuva. Ein omrim, this is the Rashba talking. Ein omrim de mishas ksivas hashtar zacha b'kol ha'esrim. Vizman hu sher viach lo atzof shana. Elo yeshna l'schiris ma'usa mitchila v'atzof. V'yom yom marviach l'fi cheshbon. Right, first day of the Rashba is that it happens in increments as you go along. De mehai taima, ribis hakasuv b'shtar einu yachol amochro. De havi kemil v'alpeh. Right, you can't be mocha. Let's say you sell about a shtar, right? Din of Shmuel, a mocha shtar chov l'chaveiro. Right, if you do that, you can't sell the ribis part of it because it's not owed yet. It's only owed little by little as you go along. That's the first tshuva of the Rashba. Ribis lo havi kemil v'bishtar, etc. And then in another tshuva in Chelek Zayin, he was asked about a question about ribis with a guy, and he says v'heishiv she'im b'dvarav klum l'fi shemishas zman ashtar chayiv atzmo b'chol haribis she'yasu ma'osav. He quotes that. But Ryan, he quotes Araya, etc. Elul Chared Dvar Sosrin says that. He doesn't answer the question. He just says that you get two different impressions from the Rashba. Is there any way to put them together? You got to figure it out. You got to figure out how could ribis be something that starts earlier but continues. Either way, that is the issue behind these achronim. The notes in all the Rishonim, the footnotes, point out that the Ritva seems somewhat inconsistent. Because the Ritva himself, on the one hand, says what we just said. He agrees with the Maskana of the Tosas Rid, who says that ribis has to be accrued in the time of the lifetime of the father. That's on the one hand. But on the other hand, he's very flexible in terms of other aspects. For example, he said earlier, schiris regarding by something that's the father's owed wages. The father's owed wages, so the Ritva says that could be even after the father died. Or the footnotes of the Tosas Rid talk about, the earlier lashon of the Ritva, on Kuf Chaf Gimel Beis, he said any davar chadash is fine, it's still going to go to the father, even if it's totally new. He says, okay, I'm not going to take time to find it now, but if you look in the, V'nirin dvarim de la Rebbe, kol shevach sheshivchun nechasa me'aleim kamar, v'afil lo haya klum. He says, even if you have new things, so the Ritva does agree that new types of shevach after the father dies, the Bukhar gets a pishnayim in. So why is ribis different? Ribis, so the Ritva, the answer that you have to give is that ribis is more new than other new things. It's totally, you don't even see the roots of ribis in the loan itself. Unlike other, even shevach that happens by itself, maybe l'mafreya retroactively, you could see the roots of it, even though it's new, but you have to say it is something that you don't see the roots at all. And they don't quote it, but I think maybe it could connect it to the Ritva's own shita about ribis. We discussed in Perakei Zeo Neshach, on Daf Samach Aleph Amebeis, beginning of the Perakei Zeo Neshach, started a daf earlier, says the Ritva there, describing the chiyuv of ribis, the tam advarim, Omer, Mari, my master teaches, the tfias ribis lohavi kishar tfias. When I come to you and say, pay me ribis, it's not like other tfias. Other tfias like gezel, you stole from me. Oh no, you ripped me off. The chayotzi bahen. The isle al chavre shiban mamon. I have a shiban on you, you stole from me, you have my money, so you have to pay me. Says the Ritva, that you see the roots of Friday. That's a real chiyuv, that's a real shibud. Ela chiyuvu shechayiv akasav lahachzir isa shabala. But what's ribis? Ribis is not a shibud mamon. It's a new chiyuv HaTorah. The Torah says you have to return the ribis. but not because it is something that is owed. Even if I took, this is going the other way, the next step, if I took ribbis from you, giving it back is a totally new chiyuv. Why? Because it's not that I have your money even. It's not exactly gazel. But it might go the both ways, giving the ribbis and getting the ribbis back. It's a totally new chiyuv that we created, but it doesn't, the roots are not at the beginning. Ubavade, the time of Kita Amran, the chiyuv of the Rami Alei Rachmanahu. It's a chiyuv that the Torah puts upon the person. La Shamayim hu chayiv. V'kivat shekein lo toa lo mechilas chaveru v'chein ikr. So he already discusses in Ezeo Neshach how the chiyuv of ribbis is very unique and different, not unique in a good way, but very different than other types of chiyuvim. It's not like gezel, it's not like ona'a. Even the Gemara there discusses what the difference between all these three are. So maybe here too. Maybe here too, you don't see the roots of it in the milveh, and that's why a bechor would not get, according to this shita, a bechor would not get pishnayim in ribbis that accrues after the father dies, only by ribbis that might have taken place, but that might have accrued beforehand. Okay, that is a little discussion of ribbis. Remember the thought that we mentioned from the Sefer HaChinuch, whenever ribbis or shmitas ksafim come up, Rav Rosenzweig also expanded upon this, but the Sefer Chinuch writes, why is it that ribbis is asur for a Jew, but ribbis is okay to take ribbis from a new Masa Olam? Well, why is that? Isn't that biased? Isn't that not fair? Or Shemitas Ksafim? Right, there's a mitzvah to collect loans from a non-Jew after Shemitah. Esna anachriti gos. It's a mitzvah. What do you mean? All the other loans are forgotten when it comes to Jews, and by a guy it's a mitzvah? So the Sefer Chinuch explains, no, because you realize that these two mitzvos are asking for something above and beyond usual behavior. Ribbis. Ribbis is normal. Normal business practice. Money makes money. You want some money, so you have to pay me for having the money. Is that so illogical? No, it's perfectly logical. That's how business works. And people are willing to do it. It's not when you're ripping the guy off and he doesn't realize. It's not stealing. Interest is interest. That's how business works. You know what the Torah says? When it comes to family, don't do that. When it comes to family, all Jews are family. You can't do that. So explains the Sefer HaChinuch. If I don't take ribbis from a non-Jew, then I'm undermining the special relationship I have with my family. If I treat the whole world like my family, then I'm not giving my family anything special. So that's why you should take ribbis from the non-Jew, because that is underlying the special relationship we have with our family, with fellow Jews. And there's nothing wrong with ribbis. They know going into it. And again, it doesn't mean to totally, go so high, but at least a certain type of percentage, that is understandable. Same thing we say by Shmitas Ksafim. Again, the Torah says that you have to forgive your loans. Forgive your loan? I lent him $1 million. Why can't I get it back? Again, a go above and beyond for family, for a brother. But if somebody's not that, so that's not demanded, because it's normal. What do you mean? If somebody lends me money, so then I have to pay him back, period. That's it. It's the high level of chesed that is not demanded. That's also how we explain Prizbal. Right? They're just getting out of it. Hillel just got out of the halacha of Shmitas Ksafim? No. The Gemara explains that the Shmitas Ksafim is a high level of chesed that is demanded. But Hillel saw they weren't doing the basic level of chesed. They weren't lending money because they were worried that they wouldn't be able to get paid back. So he said better to do the basic level of chesed than to do the higher level of chesed. So that's ribbis, and that is Shmitas Ksafim. If you say the chiyuv of ribbis only comes up shas piron, then it's much more difficult, right? Because then it's vade after the father died. Maybe those are the shitas that hold that mil level over ribbis. Okay. Amar lei, but six lines up from the bottom. Kuf chav dalad amabes. Amar lei rav acha barav l'ravina. Ikla Amemer la'astrin. Amemer once came to visit our town. Vidarish, and he darshened. Continuing our sugya, Bechor notel pishnayim b'milveh avalo b'ribis. Right, he said, maybe exactly based on what you just said, a Bechor takes pishnayim in a milveh, but not in ribis. Again, a milveh might be muchzak enough. It's not muchzak, it's really ro'ui, but it's enough in the world before the father died to consider it assets of the father, and therefore the Bechor would take a double, but not ribis. Omer lei, so Ravina answers him, Nahardoi la Tamayhu. The Nahardians all hold the same thing. Why, who was he just quoting? He was just quoting a Meimar. A Meimar was from Nahar Da. And earlier, and we're about to have Rav Nachman was also from Nahar Da. The Rashbam point out that the sheet of the Rav Nachman is going to argue on all souls this way. But he's just interested in saying all the Nahardians pass in the same way. So he says, oh, yeah, it makes sense that they say that not only, that a milveh can be collected pishnayim. That's the focus, not the ribbis aspect, but the milveh. Yeah, they all say that a bukhar can take pishnayim and a milveh. Why? Di'ama rabba. We're going to go with our girsa. The Bach just switches the shitos, but we're going to go with our girsa. The Amar Rabba, because Rabba says, Gavu karka yeshlo, if the children collected land as a payment for the loan of their father. The father was owed money, so Gavu karka, if they collected karka yeshlo, the Bechor takes Pishnayim in that land. That land, why? Why karka? Because as we know, karka, there's a shibud created. The Shiva created, the father already was connected to that land. We discussed it yesterday. The Ritvan Kiddushin and Daf Yud Gimel has the most extreme formulation in the Rishonim. He calls Shibudim a Kinyin Lachatsa'in, a partial Kinyin. It's not just I have a lien on the land, I partially own it. I don't own it enough to be Maktish it yet. I can't do certain bailus items, but in a certain way, I own it. Gavu karka yeshlo. So if the children collected the land for the loan of the father, so it's as if the father already had that chunk before he died, and therefore the Bechor takes pishnayim. Gavu maos ainlo. But money, if they collected money for a loan, then ainlo, the Bechor does not get pishnayim. Why? Because money is money. He lent money, but this is totally new money. This money had no connection to the father. As the Gemara says in Kiddushin, milveh lahotzan itzna. I give you money to use. So when you, I don't expect to get back the same cash. I get back different cash. It's totally new. So therefore, the father did not have any connection to this. And therefore, the Bechor does not take pishnayim. Right? The last line of the Rashbam, what I just said, gavu mos ein lo, de milva lo tzan nitna. There's that principle. Vahani mos achrini dinu. This is different types of money. Uki ilu lo huxlep lamaviyim. The father did not have any say in this money. Rav Nachman says the opposite. Gavu ma'os yeshlo. If they collected money, that's when the Bechor gets pishnayim. Why? Because the father gave money and the father got money. You're right, it's not the same money, but money is money. And therefore, you could say it's as if this is the money that the father gave, and therefore the Bechor can take pishnayim. But gavu karka ainlo. But gavu karka, it is not going to go to pishtayim to the son. Why? Why does the shita hold gavu karka ainlo? Because maybe he doesn't hold of the concept of shibudim as strong. Doesn't hold of that concept that it's as if it's the father's. No, you get a piece of land, but he lent you money. He didn't lend you land. He lent you money to give him back land. So that is not as if it was the father. So you see, both opinions hold to the concept that the Bechor is going to take pishtayim in some type of milveh. So when Ravina said, oh, these Nahardians hold like each other, Rav Nachman was like a Meimar, he wasn't excluding Rava. That's where the Rashbam says on the third wide line. The Li Nira, see right in the middle of the third wide line, the Hai Damrina Nahardoy Taimayu, Lo Ba Lamai Dibre Rava. It's not saying that Rava doesn't agree. Rava and Rav Nachman, one is not better than the other one. One says yeah, one says one type of milva yeah, one type of milva no. So not excluding Rabba, Ella skipping a line, Limu'ute mid Rav Yehuda mar Shmuel asa. They're just coming to exclude Rav Yehuda mar Shmuel, who said in the middle of our Amud, that a Bechor does not take Pishnayim in any milveh, period, because all milveh is considered Ra'ui. Okay, so that is just an important way to know how to read the Gemara. So that is the Brisa. So again, let's go back to Rav Nachman for a minute. Why does money work? So the Rashbam's Lashon is what I said before. He lent him money, and he took back money. The Rashbam explains the Rashbam a little more. The Rashbam says not just money, yeah, money, no, because after all, he didn't give him the same money. Milvah lehotzah nitna. So says the Rashbam, ani mosif tam ledivrehem. Let me just add on a little tam. Rav Nachman savar kiva diyav zuzin, since he gave him money. Vidaito semucha alehen, and the malveh expects to get money back. Most people get money back. They lend money, they're going to get money back. So his das is on them. V'ikar piraon b'maos. And the ikar paying back is with money. V'chol sheyesh lo maos. E'ef shel asalko b'karka. And if you have money to pay back, you can't give me back a piece of land. Because I want money. Metaltalin, that comes first. V'afilu tolem osa ba'acher. And even if I have money and I say, you know what? Oh, this is already owed to somebody else. I'm told most of Acher, or it's somebody else's money. Kofin oso litshroach velimkar ulahavi mos. Right? I make the person be mashriach. You have to bring me money. So that's what his das is on. So when I give you money, I am thinking, your money, that's what I'm getting, that's what I'm getting. So because his das is on that money, that's why Rav Nachman says that's enough. Muchsak, considered muchsak for the father, connected to the father. It's not muchsak in the normal sense, but it's muchsak to the father that the Bukhar would take P. Shnai. Okay, so that is the machlokas Rabban Rav Nachman, whether you go, whether karka is considered more muchsak, or money is considered more muchsak. So Amalei Abaye L'Rabo. So that was the end of the conversation between Rav Acha and Ravina. Rav Acha says to Ravina what Amemar said, and Ravina said, you're right. Rav Nachman, all Naradians hold the same. Rav Nachman agrees with him. So now Abaye chimes in. Amalei Abaye L'Rabo. One second. Lidi Dach Kasha, L'Rav Nachman Kasha. I got problems with both opinions. I got problems with your opinion, Rabba. You, Rabba, who according to Argirsa says, with karka, you get pishnayim. And I have the problem with Rav Nachman Shita, who says, with batalta, you get pishnayim. Lididach kasha, let me explain all my questions. Lididach kasha, according to your opinion who holds what? You who say that karka yeshlo, that if he collects, if the father collects karka, the son's going to get pishnayim, but not from Mos. Maishna Mos zelo, why do you agree that when it comes to money, if the children collect money for their father's loan, the son does not get pishnayim. Why do you agree to that? Delav hani ma'os shavak avuhon. Because this is not the money that their father left them. This is a different kind of money that he collected. So karka nami lav ha karka shavak avuhon. The karka also, this is not the karka that was collected by the father. Rabbeinu Yonah points out that if you look elsewhere, other Gemaras, we're going to have this on Be'ez Hashem, on the last daf in Bava Basra. Abaya, who's asking this question, is of the opinion Shibuda Lav de Oraisa. Right, there's a big sugya, the concept of Shibuda that we've mentioned, that when I lend you money, your land is lean to me, is connected to me, is meshubit to me. You are meshubit and your land is meshubit. We've discussed in the past, there's a concept of Shibud Aguf, that you yourself are meshubit to me, and Shibud Nechasim, your property is meshubit. That concept of Shibud Nechasim, is that Daraisa or is it Darabanan? So that's a machlokas. Shibud Daraisa, Shibud Lav Daraisa. Abaye is of the opinion Shibud Lav Daraisa. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, that's part of why he's asking this question here. He says, money you admit to me. If the father gets the money, so what? You know, the part doesn't get Pishnayim, because this wasn't the money that he lent. It's different money. So too by land, they just say the same thing. This isn't the land that the father left them. And the Rabbeinu Yonah says, Abaye inherently is also saying, even if you want to say the other opinion, Abaye knows there's another opinion out there, Shibud Daraisa, it's still not Muchsak. Shibud Demar and Muchsak, enough for the Bechor to get Pishnayim. Even if you have a strong opinion of Shibudim, Abaye would say, you still can't call that Muchsak. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Gam nira lanu, the sphere le la baye shibud alav daraisa, the hilkach ein lechalek beneihem, vahainu to kamak shile, ki hechi de maos lav muchzakin inu, karkanami ein muchzekes, the shibud alav daraisa, and then he is, even if you want to say it's daraisa, still it's not called totally muchzak. But that's one question. Va'od, and then I have another question, Abaye says, asks on Rabba. Again, just remember the Shitas. Rabba is the one who says that if you collect karka, then the Bechor could get Pishnayim. Because the Shibudim, right, they make it as if the father had it. So I have another question. Va'od, I have another question. Va'ha, reading with the Bach, Hamar hu da'amar. Didn't you say, Mistaver taimi de b'nei ma'arava? The b'nei ma'arava's reason makes sense. Who's Bnei Ra'arava? We have no idea yet, but let's just read what they say. What they say? De'ikadim safta v'zavna zvini zvini. If grandma goes and sells the property, it works. What is that talking about? So that's a story that's going to come up on the bottom of the daf. Just look at the next skip for a minute. Go to the last line of the Amud. My safta, right, the Gemara gets through the whole Gemara and then asks, what's the story? We'll come back, so just read one line. To Yehuda Amar Lahu, there was somebody that said, Nechasai Lasavta Ubasra Liarsoi. Somebody said, I want all my possessions to go to my grandma. I love my grandma, all of it to go to my grandma. But if my grandma dies, then it should go to my Yorish. My Yorish. And what was the case? The case was that the grandma died first, before the guy. Grandma died first, but the man who said it had a daughter who was married. The daughter died before the grandma died. Meaning the great-granddaughter. The daughter died before the grandma died. So when the grandma died, the son-in-law says, it's mine. Because it was going to go to the daughter. It should have gone to the daughter. You said it goes to grandma, and after grandma, it goes to Ma Yarshim. That's what the man said. And so the son-in-law comes and says, hey, if grandma, I know my wife died before grandma, but really she was earmarked to get it. So after grandma, it's supposed to come to me. That's the case. And they came to Beis Din. So all different opinions, we're going to talk about it on the base. But the Mnei Ma'arava said,
Who else wants the Yerusha?
The grandma's children, other grandma's descendants. So we'll see who else is going to get it. So the B'nai Ma'arava, which he is being referred to here, says the son-in-law is not going to get it. You know why? Because if the grandma would have sold the property while she was alive, she had that right. And then the daughter would have gotten nothing. So you see it wasn't muchzak by the daughter, because the grandma could sell it. So what, that it was going to come to her maybe later, but the grandma had every right to sell it, and it wouldn't go to the daughter at all. Now let's go back to our Gemara. Va'od, so now we'll see, now we understand what it means. Va'od, Rabbaya asks Rabba, you're saying that if karka is supposed to go to the father, it's as if it went to the father. No! But you yourself said, you like the reason of the B'nai Ma'arava. To ikadim safta v'zavna, if the grandmother got up and had sold it, zvina zvini, she would be able to sell it. So therefore, what are you saying that the father, when he collects afterwards, it's good enough? No, it can't be. It can't be, because you already said if somebody has the ability to sell it before they get it, it's not considered as if they got it. So that is the questions that Abaye asked Rabbah. Number one, it's not the same karka. And number two, you yourself held like the B'nai Ma'arava. Right? We're comparing it to that case, to the case of a Balchov selling it before it gets to the father's hands. You see the last few skinny lines here in the Rashbam. Shaharei. It's the sixth to last skinny line. Shaharei amachra zakena nechasim b'chayi abas. If the grandmother would have sold the nechasim during the daughter's lifetime, mechirasa kayemes. Her sale would have been good. So that's why it's not considered like the granddaughter got it, which would then go to her husband. Kein elu nechse alove. So to these nechasim of the love. Aval bishiru uyimim ligvos hamalve chovo mehen. Even though the malve is going to collect from them, kivat shelo higia lidei hamalve mechayim, since the malve didn't get a reuyinain. It's roi. He iboi love. If the love wanted to do stuff with it, then he would be able to do stuff with it. So therefore, it shouldn't be considered mochsak. Shouldn't be considered mochsak. So those were all the questions that Abaya asked on Rabbah. So now he also continues back to the Gemara, sixth line. The Rav Nachman Kasha, I also have problems on Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, who held the opposite, that if the father collects money, so then it is muchzak. It is fine in the Bukharka Gepi Shaima not Karka. Maishna Karka Delo. Why do you say not by Karka? Delav ha Karka Shavakavuon. Because it's not the Karka that the father left. Maos Nami Lav Hani Maos Shavakavuon. So to the money. What do you mean he gave money, he got back money? The money's not the same money. Milva Lahotza Nitna. So why should the Bukhar get Pishnayim? The Ode, and also another context. Ha'amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, Rav Nachman himself said, Yusomim Shagavu Karka Bechova Savien, Yusomim that collected Karka from the Chov of their father, Baal Chov Chozer Vegova Mehen. Let's say a father is owed money. So the father is owed money, so the Yesomim, orphans, collect karka for that chov. But let's say the father also owes money. After the Yesomim collect that land, they have to pay that land to another creditor. So what do you see from there? That if the Yesomim collect land, it is considered as if it was muchzak by the father, because you see a different Baal Chov could come and collect it. So you, Rav Nachman, there's a steer within your own words. You said that the Bechor does not get Pishnayim if they collect lands for their father, and here it says a Baal Chov could go and take it. So many kashas Abaya asks on Rabba and Rav Nachman. Amalei. So Rabba answers his good friend Abaya, and we mentioned that why was he called Abaya? Abaya wasn't his real name. Abayala, that wasn't his real name. Abaya and Rabba were friends. Rabba was one of the Rabbeim of Abaya. But Abaye's real name was, at least according to the summary shown him, Nachmeni. The problem was, Rabba's father's name was Nachmeni. Rabbi Bar Nachmeni, and Rabbi didn't want to call his good friends who have the same name as of his father. He came over to play. He's going to call him by his name. So, again, the Shulchan Aruch talks about it. If you have a friend with the same name as your father, Shulchan Aruch Nilchas Kibud Avayim. But Rabbi didn't want to get involved. So he gave Abaya a nickname, Abaya. What is Abaya? It's a Pasuk in Navi. Stands for Asher Becha Yerucham Yasom. Abaya was an orphan. Abaya was an orphan. So the Pasuk says, Asher Becha, that in you, God, Yerucham Yasom. Yasomim find compassion. Asher Becha Yerucham Yasom. That's Abaya. Aleph Beis Yud Yud. So that's what Rabbah called him. Whenever you have Abaya and Rabbah in the Gemara, you got to think about that story. Rabbah gave Abaya his nickname, Asher Becha Yerucham Yasom. That's Abaya. So Abaya asks all these questions. So Amar Leh, Rabbah answers, Lola Didi Kasha, Velola Ram Nachman Kasha. No problem according to anybody. Why? Taima d'bnei ma'arava ka'amrinan v'lon lo sviralon. No, we were just explaining the reason of bnei ma'arava. Really, ultimately, we don't hold like them. You know what we hold? We hold like Shmuel Shita yesterday. We hold that no milveh is collected. We were just explaining other people's shitas. All the sources that we were saying that a bachar is going to get something in the milveh, so that was all within the shitos that say that's okay. But we ourselves hold no. So therefore, don't ask any kashas. Okay. Viter. So the Gemara says, there is one source I wanted to mention related to Shibudim. Rav Soloveitchik writes, actually posthumously, in the Sefer on Shavuos, in Rishima Shirim on Shavuos, he quotes the Chakira, and that is how Shibudim really work. I have a Shibud on your Nechasim. So how does that work? On page Kuf Chav Dalad in Rishima Shiurim Shvuas Chelak Beis, V'nira Sheishlach Kar B'din Shibudin Nechasa B'milveh. Ha'im Chalom HaShibudin B'Torah's Kinyin. I'll mention the Chakira, and then the Nafkamin is not for now. Is it a Kinyin? What type of Kinyin? Kishtar HaMilveh U'matan Ma'os Po'alim K'maisa Kinyin L'knosas HaShibudin B'avur HaMilveh. I lend you money. So what do? I give you money. The second that I give you money, that is buying, that's a kinyan on your land, on the shibudim. Is that how it works? It's a maisa kinyan, that giving over the money? Oh, Dilma, or no, not a maisa kinyan, there's no kinyan here. Shibudim chalim b'li maisa kinyan. Ach ketotsaos shibud aguf. It's just that, it's not a maisa kinyan here, but once I create the relationship of malve love, now you have a shibud aguf. I have a shibud aguf in you. And if I have a shibud aguf in you, you personally are indebted to me. Memela flowing from a shibud aguf comes a shibud nechasim. But it's not based on the kinyan. So again, is it directly focused on the maisa, on a maisa kinyan? When I lend you the money, I take it. Or, no, it's two steps. First comes a shibud aguf, and then comes the Shibud HaChasim. This by the Nafkaminis. We know the Shita of Shmuel, a number of places quoted in Shas, where Shmuel says, if you sell a Shtar Chov, let's say I have a Shtar that says, Reuven owes me $100. So, you want to buy that Shtar Chov. You want to buy the collection right. So you buy it. You don't buy it for $100, because maybe he's not going to get paid back. So you buy it for $80. Now you have a Shtar. Then I can go back to Reuven, and I can be Mochel the Shtar. Oh, you don't have to pay me back. That works. So why does that work? It's a big discussion in the Achronim. Some say the Rambam says, because you can only sell a shtar on a Durabanan level anyway. Mechir shtar is only Durabanan. So it's really Daraisa, it's still mine. It's not going to be Mochaled. Rabbeinu Tam says no. Rabbeinu Tam says there are two types of Shibudim. Shibud Nechasim and a Shibud Aguf. And a Shibud Nechasim cannot exist by itself in a vacuum. So the second, I could sell you Shibud Nechasim, but I can't sell you Shibud Aguf. So I'm Mochal my Shibud Aguf. But once I'm Mochal my Shibud Aguf, the Shibud Nechasim falls away. That's the Rabbeinu Tam, it's quoted in the Ronik Subis, in the Pays, and elsewhere. But what do you see from there? Maybe that hints to the second side of the Chakira. That Shibud Nechasim doesn't flow from the loan itself, because then maybe it can be transferred. Maybe it flows only as a second step to the Shibud Aguf. And because of that, it can be Nimchal, right when I'm Mochal, the Shibud Aguf. Maybe he says you could be Mechal between Milva Alpen and Milva Bishtar, in different directions. One is focused on the Maisa, one's focused on the Hischaivus itself. Okay, either way, that's one important source on Shibudim, Rishima Shiurim and Shvuas on Daf Lamed Zayin in Masechet Shvuas. Okay, let's continue. So my Safta, now we get back to the story. What's the Safta story that was referred to? Yehuda Amar Lehu, there was somebody that said, Nichsi L'Safta, my Nechasim should go to my grandmother, Ubasra Liarsoi. That's his Lashon. After her, it should go to my Yarshim. Havi le Barta, and he, this man, had a daughter, Tahavi Nesiva, that was married, Shechiva b'chayi baila u'b'chayi safta. She, the daughter, died in the lifetime of her husband and the lifetime of her grandmother. So the daughter dies first, then the grandmother dies, b'asa the Shechiva safta, after the safta died, asabal katava. So the son-in-law, the great-grandson-in-law, says, I want great-grandma's property, because what you say? Grandma and then Yarsoi. So who's Yarsoi? It was my wife, which is now me, Bal Yoresh Ishto. So three different answers. Really two that were three. That was the Machlokas and the Beis Medrash. Amar Rav Huna, Li Yarsoi, Vafila Li Yarsoi. Rav Huna held, yeah, give it to him. Give it to the son-in-law. Because when I say after the grandma it goes to my Yarshim, I mean to my Yarshim or my Yarshim's Yarshim's. And my son-in-law, Yarsha, is my daughter. So therefore, give it even to my Yarsha, to my my two-steps Yarsha. So give it to the son-in-law.
The guy died last.
The guy's not dead. Which guy? Oh, the guy himself. The guy himself.
He died first.
Doesn't even say. Let's say he died first. Let's say he died first. When did he die? I don't, let's say he died first. Let's say, because he's out of the picture.
He died first, and then...
It goes to grandma.
But to grandma, and then grandma
and then, died. During grandma's lifetime, the daughter died. The daughter died while grandma had it. And then grandma died, and now the son-in-law is coming. The great-grandson-in-law. So Rav Huna says, give it to the great-grandson-in-law. Because that's what the assumption is when he says, give it to my Yarshim, he means to my Yarshim's Yarshim's also. For Rav Anan Amar, no. Liarsoi, velo liarsi yarsoi. Rav Anan says, no. When somebody says, my Yarshim, of course it's going to go to his Yarshim.
If the granddaughter was still alive.
If the granddaughter was alive, she would get it.
And the Safta had closer Yarshim.
No, but it doesn't matter. No, the granddaughter would get it, because he specifically says, grandma and then my Yorish. And he had one Yorish, granddaughter.
Once she takes it, it's not totally hers in terms of...
No, it's not usually hers totally. Because, well, we'll get to it. We're going to get to it in a minute. She could have sold it. That's the point. But according to this Manda Amar of Anan, Rav Anan says, when I say my Yorishim, I only mean my Yorish and not my Yorish's Yorish. Because why would I have said that in the first place? Rav Anan says, you don't give it to the son-in-law. Sholchu mitam, and they sent from Eretz Yisrael, Hilchazaka Vasid Rav Anan. Rav Anan's right. Vala mitame, but he's got the wrong reason. He's got the right shita, but the wrong reason. Hilchazaka Vasid Rav Anan, the Rav Anan's right to Ba'alo Yaris, that this son-in-law is not going to get it. Why? Vala mitame, but not because of his reason. Dealer of Anan Sava, Rav Anan held, Afagav Dahavile Brolabarte Lo Yaris. Let's say the daughter who died had a son. Let's say she had a son. So Rav Anan would say, that son doesn't even get it. That's what Rav Anan would have said. Because he says, Yarshai means only one step. So only that he wouldn't get it. Velohi, and we don't go that far, as Rav Anan says. Why? De'ilu havile brola barte vada yaris. If its daughter had a son, the son would get it. It's just that the Baal doesn't get it. Ubal hainu time with the loyaris. No, the only reason here that the Baal doesn't get it is why? Mishum dahavi le roi. Because it's roi. The ain Baal nota ba roi kiba mochsak. A husband does not take roi, what's going to come to her, the wife, like if the wife gets a Yerusha after she dies, the husband does not take that Yerusha kiba mochsak as he takes in mochsak. Let's finish for a minute. Michlal, there's a lot to talk about in that line, but first let's finish. Michlal, the Rav Huna savar Baal nota ba rekiba mochsak. What do you mean, Rav Huna, who said, Yarshai v'afilu Yarshai Yarshai? Rav Huna said that the son-in-law should get it. He says that a Baal takes Roi? Mar said, no. Amar Rav Elazar, Dover zeh niftach b'gdolim v'nisayim b'ktanim. No, this was said by Gdolim, and it's being finished up by Ktanim. What does that mean? It was started by Rav Huna, who was great, and it's being finished by me. I'm a Katan. The Rimi Gash says, no, it was started by Gdolim, meaning the Tanoim. And it's being finished by me, the Amoraim. That's what he means to say. That's the Rimi Gash right here. So meaning, what does Rav Huna mean? Kol ha'omer acharecha ko'omer me'achshav dami. No, what Rav Huna means is that when you say, it's going to my grandma, and then it's going after that to my daughter, it's muchsak to the daughter. Because, as the Rashbam explains, it's as if he's giving the zechus of peros to the grandma, but the guf is going already straight to the daughter. So it's not roi, it's muchsak. Kodesh Kola Omer Acharecha. Anybody who creates a line of Acharecha to you, and then after to you, and then after to you, it's as if it's Me'ach Shev Dami. That is the Shita of Rav Huna. Omar Rabba, just last line of the Sugya. What? And the Baal Kabiorish, right? That's what the Rav Huna said. Rav Huna on the fourth line. Liyarsi, I feel Liyarsi, Yarsi. Omar Rabba, and Rabba says, Mistavra Taimed de B'nei Marava. Rabba says, I like B'nei Marava. To eat kadim, safta vizavna, zvinas vini. I think Mnei Marava is right, that the son-in-law is not going to get it. Because the grandma could have sold it, and that would have been finished. Then the daughter wouldn't have gotten anything in it. So you see, it's not muksak, so therefore, there's no way that he could have, that the daughter could be considered muksak, so the husband, the son-in-law, does not get it. A couple of important discussions, lahalacha, quoted in the Rishonim here. Tosfos here. Tosfos here says, what about a Baal in the milvas of the wife? What if the wife is owed money? If the wife is owed money, does the Baal yarshin that and the wife dies? Does the Baal yarshin that? So Tosfos says, a Baal is not govet from the Baal chov of a wife. Tosfos says that. Right in the middle of Tosfos Amar, about the fifth line, V'hu adin nami delo shakil baal b'milvas ishto, afilu b'mashalavsa ishto, minichse malug. Even from nichse malug, we know there are different properties that the husband has rights to. What's nichse malug? Nichse malug is property that the husband has rights to use. Let's say the wife sold stuff from the nichse malug. She wasn't allowed to sell it. Let's say she sold stuff from the Nechse Malug. Even that is considered ra'ui, and the husband does not get from that. That's Tosfos Ashita. Totally, a husband does not collect any milvas that the wife is owed. If you look in the Rush here, the Rush is Machalik. Nechse Malug and other Nechassim. Nechse Malug are supposed to belong to the husband. After all, we know, let's say she sold stuff from the Nechse Malug. The husband could go take it from the buyers, because he's the first Lokeach. He's Lokeach Rishon. So says the Rush, V'li nira, dim hilvasai ha'isha minechse Malug shalah, so better than if she sold it, where we have Takanas Usha, like Subis Daf Nun, that says that the husband can take it. So Tosfos says the husband cannot take, doesn't get any milva. The Rush is Mechalek, and the Rimi Gash has the other extreme. The Rimigash says the husband gets all milvas, even non-nichse malug. Why? And here the Rimigash says a chiddush, because the concept of ra'ui by husband-wife is a different concept than by other people and other relationships. Anything that the wife had that she lent money to, the husband is as if he had a right in. Mistavrlon de Dafka Leinyin Bechor Hu to Havi Roy. A milva is Roy for a Bechor Bishum de Matana Kar Yerachmana. Ma Matana de Matiliade Afkali Chalik Bechor de Matiliade. Avalinyin Yerushas Habal Vixubas Isha Milva Mukzekasi. Ubal Yarisla Vixuva Gavimine. Right, that is the Rimigash. Any. So you have Tosfos on one extreme, the Rimigash on the other extreme, and the Rush in the middle. Shulchan Aruch Paskins like the Rush. That's one direction. The husband taking milvas of the wife. What about the other way now? What about a woman collecting her ksuba? If a woman is collecting her ksuba, what could she collect from? Could she collect her ksuba from milvas of the husband? So again, Tosfos weighs in. This is the bottom Tosfos now. Fifth line of Tosfos. Even though Tosfos was the most extreme by the man collects from the woman, here he says the other way. V'yalvagav degabi baal u'bachar chashvina milve ra'ui, legabi ksubas isha chashiva muchzekes. V'gove isha ksubasa mi milve, avavish einu notelas lomen ha'shevach lomen ha'roi. A woman can collect from milve, even though the opposite direction doesn't happen. She could collect anything for her ksuba. Why? Tosfos just brings a raya. But it doesn't explain why. Looking at Rabbeinu Yonah, Rabbeinu Yonah says two reasons. Number one, because even during the lifetime of the husband, ksuba, there's already what we would call shibud de Rabnasan. If A owes B and B owes C, then A owes C. So if somebody owes the husband, says Rabbeinu Yonah, it's as if they owe the wife. So this relates to the discussion. It's a beautiful, I heard B'Shem Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. When is the chiv ksuba kick in? The husband accepts the responsibility at the time of the marriage, right? The husband does the kinyat, the chasas tishbu, he's chayv in the ksuba. Is he chayv in the ksuba really yet? The ksuba is only payable, rachmana litzlan, by death of divorce. So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein said, he accepts an obligation to obligate himself. It's a chiyuv lachov. A ksub is somewhere in the middle. There is an obligation already, but it's not payable yet. It's a chiyuv lachov. It's kind of like a chiyuv betoch zman piraon. It's not payable yet, but it exists. He accepted the chiyuvim. So that's why, maybe that's behind this Rabbeinu Yonah, that there's already shibud de Rav Nasan. It's already like the balchov of the husband already owes the wife. Based on shibud de Rav Nasan. That's why it's not considered, even though it's considered roi for others, for Bechar and for Baal, it's not considered roi for the woman. Number one. And number two, maybe just per se, there's no source that says a woman does not collect from roi, like suba. Even if it's mamish roi. Don't say there's a different definition of roi. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, there's no source that says a woman can only collect her ksuba from roi. The end of that Tosfos, where's the end of that Tosfos? It's all the way on the next Amud, iceberg Tosfos, you only see the tip of it, says the third skinny line, says Tosfos, Ubizmana zet, takinu ga'onim degavi isho balchomi metaltli diasmi kumo mekarkoi, yusom mishagav v'chov v'zavin, etc. Tosfos quotes the Bizmana zet, takanas ga'onim, that we know, from elsewhere, that all everything today, even though in the Gemara, you read the Gemara, it's all karka, 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 bizmana zeh, it's all metaltzlin, 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 and there's smichas das on metaltzlin, and that's what a woman collects, and that's what is known. It's all collected from metaltzlin. Okay, we'll have to stop here by Amar of Papa, and by the way, tomorrow we start off with the sugya of this takanas gaonim, and also we'll start off with our discussion of mashkon. Mashkon, the Rashbam brings up here Mashkon, Baal Chov is Kona Mashkon. We'll start off with that, and then we'll continue with Hashem, and we get to the next Mishnah on Kuf Chav HaMabez, about Masa Mashkon's Batorah. We'll get into that. Okay, today's shiur again was sponsored. Lezecher Nishmas, Yosef Rafael Ben Isar, Yosef Rafael Ben Isar, who the shiur is sponsored, Lezecher Nishmas, so for these 2 weeks.